Hi folks, thank you for tuning in to another episode of today's Survival Show. My name is Bob Main, I am your host, and you are listening to episode 23 of today's Survival Show. It is September the 30th, Wednesday, and we help you make survival simple, not extreme. Today's Survival Show is about helping you tap into what I call the power of choice to live the life that you want to live. Not the life someone else wants you to live, but exactly the way you want to live it on your own terms. And also to strengthen your resolve. Choices are a very powerful thing. And the ability to set our life on the course the way that we want it is a right that has been given to all human beings on the face of the earth. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And that is what we are all about. Becoming independent and becoming secure. And today's Survival Show is about what you can do today to survive the challenges that we encounter. And that's one of the reasons why I called it today's Survival Show. You know, a lot of survival podcasts and shows and blogs that you see out there are rather extreme. In fact, a lot of them are into a lot of conspiracy theories and a lot of what's commonly called tinfoil hat theories. I don't want you to gain any of that from this show. I want you to say, hey, what Bob does is a very practical, common sense show on how to live a better life, because that's what we're all about. And it doesn't really matter what's going on in your stage of your life right now. If things are challenging, things could be good for you, things could be somewhere in between. It's a very old concept that our ancestors many, many years ago did, but they always prepared for what might be ahead. And it didn't matter if there was a disaster coming. They lived their lives according to what can we do to put ourselves in a better position just in case. And it's going to help you out even today if you start preparing for tomorrow. And today's subject matter, I think, is going to drive that point home quite a bit, that what you do today, whether something happens or not, is going to better your situation and your life today or tomorrow, regardless of what happens. That's the main topic. Now, I want to knock out a couple of announcements here before we continue. I want to talk about our forum. We have an excellent forum that seems to be growing every day. A couple of new members every day, it seems like. If you have not become a member of our forum, I got to tell you, when like-minded people get together and they start sharing ideas, that is when real learning takes place. There's an old saying that says, small minds talk about things and material objects. Average minds talk about other people and what they do, but great minds talk about ideas and concepts on how to improve and live a better life. And that's what you're going to find in our forum, a lot of great minds that are discussing back and forth. So go to todayssurvival.com/forum or just go to our main website, todayssurvival.com, and click the forum page, and it will get you to where you need to go. I also want to put a call out to some people who have been doing an excellent job of helping promote today's survival show, and that is the Survival Mom. And I've mentioned her the last couple of episodes. I'm going to go ahead and mention her today. The Survival Mom. Excellent place for ladies to pick up good ideas on more independent living. So check out Lisa's blog at thesurvivalmom.com. And the last announcement that I want to make is, as you know, as I mentioned when I started this, this is episode 23. I've done 22 complete episodes before this. If you feel like you have learned something, and by listening to my first 22 shows or getting on our forum, it has impacted your life in a positive way, and it has improved your position in your life, I'd like to call upon you to consider making a small donation to today's survival show. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but if you feel it in your heart to do so, I'd very much appreciate that. There is a small cost involved in putting on not only these podcasts and the blog, but also the forum as well. There's hosting fees and a couple of other associated fees. So if you feel like it's something that you can do, no pressure. Certainly, please do not go into debt. Please do not put it on a credit card. You know, I'll never know if you do, but I'm not about building debt. I'm about eliminating debt. But if you have a little extra you can share, there is a donate button on the website, and you can use PayPal. And again, try not to use a credit card, please, but that would be much helpful if you could do that. That's all I'm going to say about that. So let's dive right into the main topic matter. You know, the song that I started this show with, you know, The Eye of the Tiger by Survivor, the reason I have decided to pick that song is because real survivors, they have that, they have something inside of them. They have some kind of an X factor, some kind of an Eye of the Tiger that's inside of them. And it's what drives them to act. And it's what makes them look at things from a different perspective than the average person out there. You know, the average person, there's too many people in America just kind of, just going about their day, and it doesn't matter what's, you know, happening in the world, and they can't wait to get home and play their video game, or they can't wait to get home and watch that stupid television show that they, you know, DVR'd the day before while they were at work. They taped some show, and they want to get home and plop themselves in front of that tube and get a bunch of snacks and a Diet Coke and get fat. And that's a problem with a lot of America today. The survivor has that eye of the tiger. The survivor says, you know, I'm going to live my life differently. I'm not going to do what those bozos do. And I'm going to do something constructive. I love what one of our forum members posted recently. You know, he said he listens to my podcast, and I guess he probably listens to some other things too. And he said, I don't listen to the radio anymore. He said he doesn't listen to the radio anymore because the radio is pretty mindless. It is mindless, and so is the news, and so is a lot of today's music. So one of the first things that I want to talk about is, what are you putting into your brain every day? Your brain's like a huge computer. Garbage in, garbage out. Sorry if that's tough to hear, folks, but it's true. What are you putting into your brain? And that pretty much leads me into the main topic, and that is balance. Today's show is about balance. Not balance as if you're standing on a balance beam and trying not to fall off. Not your body in balance, but really, is your life in balance? You know, a lot of people fail because their lives are completely out of balance. A lot of them are not very well prepared because they're out of balance in so many ways. And I really believe that there's five areas that you need to concentrate on. And again, this is all mindset training. And in the next episode, in episode 24, I'm going to get away from mindset for a while because I've done a lot of shows on that. I've got some good ideas on what you can actually be building and putting together to become more survival-minded right in your own home and in your own vehicle. But I'm going to reserve that for episode 24. But I want to finish the mindset series that I've been working on by talking about keeping your life in balance. And I can talk pretty well about this because I'm the king of letting my life get out of balance. I'm one of those personalities that when I take something on, I get into it so much. I get into it so heavy, and I just go all out that I start to neglect a lot of other areas in my life. It just starts to consume me. It starts to take me over. Is that you? Are you one of those kinds of people where you get involved in something and you can't stop thinking about it? I taught myself how to do these podcasts and how to set up a blog. I had a relative pretty much help me figure out how to download the blogging software, and then that was about it. That's where it stopped. So I got on the internet and I was Googling like crazy how to set up a blog and how to do podcasts. And lo and behold, it took a while, but I figured it out. But it consumed me, and I let a lot of things get out of whack in the rest of my life. And so that's why I wanted to create, it's what gave me the inspiration to do this topic and why I wanted to create today's show and talk about this. So if you're the kind of person that likes to take notes, go ahead and pause this podcast right now and get something that you can either write with or get your laptop computer out or whatever, get on your home computer and start taking some notes. Because I'm going to talk about the five areas of bringing your life back into balance. Our lives are like a scale, and when something is too heavy on one side, it flips over whatever's too light on the other side, and we start spiraling out of control. So number one, the first area, and this is not necessarily in order. Do these five any way you want, but do them, bring your life in balance in all five of these areas. Number one, emotional. Your life, first of all, has to be in emotional balance. What is your mental state? And let me give you some examples of how it gets out of whack. First of all, who are you hanging around? Who are you associating with? Who are you befriending in your life? Again, I can speak from experience. Back when I used to work for Tom Hopkins in the sales training and in the motivational training business, mainly sales training, I was around a lot of very positive people. And even though they had troubles in their lives, even though they had their own share of personal problems, these were people who wanted to constantly improve their life. One of them called me about an hour ago before I started doing this show, and he had some really cool things, and I hadn't had a chance to talk to this guy in about 17 years. And we started talking like we were old friends, even though I hadn't heard from him in 17 years. And he was telling me about the business that he's doing, and it was just a real positive conversation, and I've had a pretty tough business day. So it was great to get a good injection of what I call positive medicine into my brain. And I want you to be real careful about not hanging around slurpers. That's my nickname for them. I borrowed that term from Tom Hopkins. You know, slurpers. People will slurp you. You ever go to 7-Eleven and buy a Slurpee? Aren't those things great when you're thirsty? You go get one of those big, huge Slurpees, and you suck that thing down, right? Well, people will also slurp you, and you've got to be careful. And there's a lot of ways that they will do it. A lot of needy people. Now, those of us in the survival mindset, you know, we prepare a lot for ourselves and for our family. But I read a lot on survival blogs and survival forums about, and I see people post things like, I'm just simply not going to help anybody because I'm too busy. If a disaster strikes, I'm too busy implementing my plan and taking care of myself and me and my family. I particularly have to say I don't really care for somebody that has that attitude. But I can see why they feel that way, because there are people out there that can slurp you. There are people out there that can take advantage of you. There's people out there who are not prepared. And disaster doesn't have to strike. Even if things are rather relatively normal in your life, you still are going to have somebody, a relative, a friend, a coworker, whatever, they're going to zap you. And sometimes it starts off real unnoticeable. You don't really notice it. You know, they're just asking you for help. And, you know, if you got a big heart, you want to help them. The problem is that you got so many dependent people out there that are always, they always have their hand up for something. And you are probably one of 14 or 15 people that they're leaning on for help. And they never learn to fix their problems on their own. there's so many ostriches out there with their heads in the sand that just simply won't latch on to any of this survival stuff at all. When you mention the word survivalism to them, they think of Les Stroud, Survivor Man, out in the woods with nothing, and they go, oh, well, that's not me. Or they think of some whacked out extremist conspiracy theory, and I can see why they think that, because that's all over the place if you want to find those tinfoil hat conspiracy type people. And so they turn us off until something goes wrong. Then all of a sudden they're our best friend. And a lot of times these slurpers, something will go wrong in their own life. And they come to you, oh, can I borrow a few dollars? Or, well, you know, I need a little bit of gas money. Or, can I use your car? Or, you know, can you help me fix this? I got this problem. Can you help me fix my house? Or can you, you know, help me out with a little bit of food or something? You know, and it just starts small. And all of a sudden, it's one thing after another, after another, after another. And if you're a warm-hearted person like me, and you're the kind of person that does want to help, if you're not a real selfish kind of person, it's easy to get dragged into neglecting other parts of your life by helping them. Christians like me, you know, our faith, we are taught, well, and a lot of other faiths, people of faith are taught the same thing. You know, but we're taught to help others, help our neighbors that are in need. But I draw the line, because where I draw the line is I don't think that people should help others to the point that it starts to ruin your own life. So be careful of those people who are going to treat you like a Slurpee. And they're just going to keep drinking and drinking and drinking from your fountain until it's dry. And they will take you out of emotional balance. And I think that's the biggest thing we have to watch out for, because your own problems are going to be a lot easier to handle if you're not trying to deal with a whole bunch of other people's problems. Another suggestion I would like to give you about keeping your life in emotional balance kind of goes back to what I mentioned earlier. What are you putting into your mind? There's too much negativity out there. Don't watch the news so much. I really like what that gentleman in the forum said, you know, that he doesn't like to listen to the radio anymore because it's mindless. It's also negative. And the TV is negative. And what I'm going to share with you might sound a little silly, but if you let this sink in, I think it's going to, instead of sounding silly to you, I think it's going to make a lot of sense. I want you to think of a huge tent for a minute, and I want you to think of a huge tent that has two zippers, and that's how you put this tent up. Is you grab one zipper that's down on the ground and you pull it all the way up to the top with your right hand, and then you reach with your left hand and grab another zipper on the ground and you pull that all the way up with your left hand, and when the two zippers meet, your tent pops up and now you've got a shelter. All right? So I call it zip, zip. I'm now in my positive shell, and I want you to think about that. I want you to think about zipping up one side of the tent, reaching over with your other hand and zipping up the other side of the tent, and now you've got this positive shell. You got this shell built around you where it's only holding positive stuff in, and it's keeping all the negative stuff out. Zip, zip, I'm now in my positive shell. I know that sounds a little corny, but I want you to think about that. And every morning when you get up, I want you to zip yourself into that positive shell, because I will guarantee you something every day. And you see if I'm wrong about this. Negative darts are going to come at you every way that they can. And every time a negative dart comes at you, I just want you to go zip. Zip! I am now in my positive shell, and I'm not going to allow that to bother me. And I may sound corny, like I said, but you just try it. In fact, try that for 21 straight days. You don't have to let anybody see you do it. Just try it on your own. It works. The other thing I want you to watch out for is bad seeds. Bad seeds will throw you in out of emotional balance. What's a bad seed? Well, I mentioned one of them, a slurper, or somebody talking negative, or somebody trying to gossip, and things like that. You know, as survivalists, we plant seeds in the ground, we grow gardens, right? Well, what happens when you're planting seeds if you have a bad one? It doesn't germinate, it doesn't produce the fruit, it doesn't produce the vegetable that you're planting. You don't get anything from it. It's a bad seed. I want you to learn to start throwing bad seeds out of your life. And here's another fun game you can play. When someone starts talking negative to you, when someone starts trying to drag you down, and it's pretty obvious that they're trying to drag you down, here's what I want you to do. I want you to open up your hands, and I want you to put your hands about, 5 or 6, maybe 7 inches away from their face. And don't touch them. Don't touch that person. Just put your hands by their face and go, bad seed, bad seed. All right? And just tell them that they're a bad seed. And they'll look at you with an astonished look on their face. I promise you. You will see the strangest look on their face when you put your hands up and go, bad seed, bad seed. But seriously, you know, and you kind of send a message to them. I've done this. I've done this to relatives. I've done it to friends. You got to watch out for what these people are going to do to you. And a lot of them want to gossip. And a lot of them want to just drag you down. Hey, why are you involved in that survivalism junk anyway? Nothing's ever going to go wrong. I can't believe that you're into that. That's nothing but just a bunch of extremist hogwash. Nothing's ever going to happen. Put your hands up in front of their face and hit them. Don't touch them, but just hit them with the words, bad seed, bad seed. I'm serious. This stuff might sound corny, but I got to tell you, it works. And I thought it was the dumbest stuff I ever heard when I first heard it. But it takes 21 days to build a habit. I want you to get up every morning and zip yourself into the positive shell. And I want you to start calling people bad seeds. And I want you to do it for 21 straight days. It will catch on. So that'll help keep yourself in emotional balance. The second area is physical. Keep yourself physically balanced. And I mean, go back and listen to the episode on fitness that I just did. And keep yourself physically fit. This does so much. I can't tell you how much it does for you to keep yourself physically fit. If you have an emergency bag or a bug-out bag packed, every day put that bag on your back and go take a walk. Start off, I don't care if you're only walking, you know, a few hundred yards to start with every day. And just build it up gradually and build it up a little bit more so gradually. And, you know, I've read articles of people who take a daily walk with their emergency bag or their bug out bag. And they go for a mile or two every day. Even if that's all you do, keep yourself physically fit. So we've got number one, emotionally balanced. Number two, physically balanced. Number three is a biggie, financial. Financial balance. You got, man, folks, I'm telling you what, I've mentioned this now probably a half a dozen times. If you have not read the book Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey, I want you to shut this podcast off. If you have not read this book, I want you to turn this podcast off. I want you to stop listening to me. And I want you to get on the internet and I want you to Google Total Money Makeover by Dave Ramsey. And I want you to order that book. And I promise you, when you get that book and you start reading it, it'll be very hard to put down. And if you can, go listen to Dave speak, or even better, take one of his 13-week Financial Peace University courses. It's once a week for 13 weeks. Workbook, everything, you actually start getting your life financially in balance. Everything else in your life is going to suck, folks. I'm telling you, it's going to suck if you're not financially in balance. Does money buy happiness? No, money does not buy happiness. But it will let you arrive at all of your problems in style. I'm serious. I mean, at least you're going to have a better time with all of your misery, right? It's going to be a little more comfortable. Money does not buy you happiness, but it is a part of keeping your lives in balance. Financial pressure is incredible. There are more marriages that end in divorce because of financial pressure. There are more suicides that are that people commit largely because of financial pressure. There are people every day ending up in anger management courses because they couldn't control their anger over a financial issue and a financial pressure. You will not believe the peace of mind and the freedom that you will feel when you are out of debt. It is a liberating experience. You literally are a slave when you are in debt. You are a slave to the person or the entity that lent you that money. No one likes to be a slave. The human spirit is meant to be free. And you will be so financially out of balance, and you will feel so awful when you're in debt because you're owned by your creditors. I think you've all seen that bumper sticker, I owe, so off to work, I go. Isn't that sad? Isn't that completely sad that people are in misery every day? They get up and they go to a job they absolutely hate because they have no other choice. Because they've built up so much debt in their life and they refuse to do anything about it. So they just jump in their car and they can't zip themselves into the positive shell because they're already depressed from the day, from as soon as they get up in the morning. Because it dawns on them that here comes another day of debt and another day of bills that I can't pay. Get on that program. Start doing the debt snowball. I'll give you part of it. Make a list of all your debts. It starts with writing down everything that you owe. That you have to do. You'll never get out of debt until you make a list of all the debts that you have. And then pick the smallest one, the one that has the smallest amount. For us, I think it was, if I remember correctly, it was an $82 medical expense that we had. We had a debt, I think it was some dental work, it was $82. And we paid that off first. The reason you want to do that is it gets you in the habit of paying off debts. It gives you a victory feeling. You know, you get this feeling like, yeah, all right, I paid off a debt. Even though it was only $82, it's gone now. I don't have to worry about that anymore. And it snowballs, and that's why Dave calls it the debt snowball. Then you take the next largest amount. And you work real hard to pay that one off. And even if you have to get a second job or a third job or move, sell your house and move and buy a less expensive house or get rid of a huge car payment by selling off a car and buying an old clunker. We shouldn't have turned those clunkers in on new cars when the government had that stupid cash for clunkers program. What a mess that was. You know how much debt they caused people to incur? You didn't hear much about that on the news, did you? All these people that had these clunkers that, and you know, your old cars were running fine. And they were paid for. People should have kept them. They should have kept driving those clunkers till they didn't clunk anymore, till the wheels fell off, so that they don't incur a car payment. Because car payment means what? It means debt. It means you're a slave to the bank that lent you the money. It means you have to get up every day and go to that miserable, awful job that you can't quit because you're forced into going because you owe, so off to work you go. So that financial balance, set a goal of living on 75% of what you make in terms of take-home pay. Now, you might want to first of all start at the 95% level. Here's the problem. So many people are spending 110% of what they make. So set a goal first. live on 95% of what you bring home every month. And then once you get it to that level for a month or two, then go down to, let's say, 85%. And adjust your spending to your living on 85% of your take-home pay. And then get it down to 75%. You know what? Do you realize how good our economy would do if every single American, and not just Americans, even all my international listeners, how about you? Everybody. What if everybody in the world started living only on 75% of what their income is? Think about that. You know, unfortunately, we have so many millions of people around the world that are in poverty, and they can't reduce their lifestyle any more than it already is. But there's so many of us out there who can. And think about if you had 25% of everything that you make. If you make $4,000 a month, and that's your take-home pay, if you had $1,000 a month left over every month on a $4,000 a month income, wouldn't that give you a lot greater peace of mind? And if you're in that lousy job, maybe after a year or two, after you got 15 grand in the bank or so, then you can go quit that lousy job. You can go tell that boss of yours to go fly a kite. You're going to go do something else. Wouldn't that be a nice, liberating feeling? So set a goal, 75% of what you make. Take-home pay. Another financial balance suggestion I have for you. Consider alternative investments. Consider investments that are not only stocks or mutual funds. Consider investments that are actually going to protect your principal, especially in today's world with today's financial situation that we have right now. Right now, just not losing anything is a victory. Wouldn't you agree? So consider, open your mind to other investments. You know, your mind is like a parachute. It works best when it's open. And quit listening to all the salespeople out there. Okay, and I'm a salesperson. I'm not an investment salesperson. I sell electronic products. But I'm going to go ahead and pick on my profession for a minute. Quit listening to all the people who want to just sell you something just to earn a commission. And start looking at alternative investments. Start looking at gold. Start looking at silver. And put small percentages of your money into investments like that. Start looking at things like trading currencies, maybe trading the euro versus trading the dollar, or trading against the dollar, excuse me. Start checking into that. You know, do your homework on the investments first. Don't just start flinging money around. But open your mind. Don't just sock everything away in a mutual fund and say, oh, it's all going to be okay. Remember, the return of your investment is just as important as the return on your investment. Another suggestion I'd like to give you on financial balance. I've said this before many times, but I'll go ahead and throw it again on this program. Pay cash for everything. That's right. Pay cash for everything. Now, I'm going to disagree with some folks. There's some people in the survival community and also in the financial security business that urge you to use a debit card, a checking account debit card. Now, I have one. I have a checking account debit card in my wallet right now. I don't even like those. I don't like those for a simple reason. When you use your checking account debit card, it's not as painful as paying cash for something. Now, a credit card's the worst. You know, a credit card, you don't feel any pain. You know, because you think, oh, I can always pay for that later. And, of course, credit cards are the root of financial evil. They are. Credit cards are the root of financial evil. But debit cards, even though they're a lot better than a credit card, because, you know, the money comes out of your checking account, and the theory is you'll spend less and you won't go into debt. True. But it's still not as painful as paying cash for something. I want you to do this. I've done this. I'm going to tell you something that I have done right now. And you can do this. Don't tell me, don't email me or whatever and tell me that this is not possible to do. Because what I'm about to tell you is very possible. I've done it. Pay for everything, and I mean everything, for a whole month. Pay for it in cash. Cold, hard cash. You say, well, what if I have to mail a bill to somebody? If you have to put a payment in the mail, go to the post office, get a United States postal money order, hand them the cash, get a money order, even if there's a small fee for doing so. There's a reason behind this, and I'm going to tell you what it is, and send that money order in the mail. But physically go to the post office, and you could do it all at once. Okay? You can buy a money order for every bill that you have to mail. Don't even do any online banking for a month. Don't pay any bills online or anything like that. Okay? Just pay for them all in cash. Why? What this, in my opinion, my humble opinion, what this forces you to do is it, first of all, forces you to go down to your bank and take out all your money in cash. And so now you got this big wad of cash. All right? Keep it in a good safe at home. But now you got this big wad of cash that you have to manage. And since you're carrying around this pile of money, first of all, you're going to be very, very careful with it, aren't you? And when you pay a bill, it's going to make you examine that bill, and it's going to make you look at it, and you're going to go, wow, this bill, it's $112. Man, you know what? I got to get rid of $112 of this precious cash I got. I wonder if this is really worth. Am I getting my money's worth? Am I really getting my money's worth out of this service that I'm paying $112 a month for? And it'll make you re-examine it. And maybe if it's your cable TV bill and you're paying $178 on your cable TV bill, for example, and you have to go down and pay for that and take it out of this pile of cash that you've got, maybe you'll think, yeah, you know what, maybe I can reduce that $170 cable bill. And maybe I can, you know, get it down to $99 and I can still be happy watching TV, which is a waste anyway. Why don't I just waste $99 a month on TV instead of $178? It makes you examine every single bill because it's painful to give up that cash. It's really tough to do. It's a proven fact you'll probably spend 8 to 10% less for that month than you would normally spend in an average month by writing checks or using your debit card or online banking. It works. If you don't believe me, try it. And don't send me a comment saying, oh, that doesn't work if you haven't tried it. Just try it. And if you do that and then you don't reduce your spending that month, then let me hear about it. And I would like to hear that story. Every time I've challenged somebody to do that, and every time I've done it myself, sure enough, lo and behold, I don't want to give up that cash. And so I really start to hold back on spending. Now, you may have to stand in line for a while at the post office or wherever you're going, or the bank, or wherever you're going to get these cashier's checks, but pay that price, do it, and even if you have to pay a couple bucks or whatever the fee is for a money order, it's a lesson that you're going to teach yourself by paying everything in cash for a month. Okay, so we've gone through the first three areas of bringing your life in balance: emotional, physical, and financial. The fourth is spiritual. You've also got to have your life in spiritual balance. Now, this is a touchy subject. Today's survival show is not a religious show. I've said that many times, and I'm never going to impose my beliefs on anybody, and I'm never going to expect you to believe a certain way. No matter what you believe, you are welcome in this show and on our forum and whatever. But it is proven that people that have regular spiritual activity and they're in touch with the spiritual side of their humanness, it's going to help you live your life in better balance. It's going to remind you of things that are important in life. And again, I'm not saying that there's a certain religion you should believe or a certain thing that you should believe, but engage in spiritual activities. It does help. And that's really about all I need to say on that one. That one's pretty self-explanatory. The final and fifth area of bringing your life into balance is organizational. Get organized. I've said this before on another show. There are two things that you can look at, and you can tell a lot about any person by looking at two things. Number one is their car, and number two is their desk, whether it's at home or whether it's at their office. What does their car look like? What does their desk look like? Is their car organized? Is their desk organized? If it is, their life is likely to be organized. And if their car and desk is a mess, I'll bet you they're a mess. This is not 100%. It's not absolute. But let me tell you, try it. Try it. Take a look at a person's car, especially if it's somebody that you know. If it's somebody you know, a friend or a relative, their life is a mess, make note of what their vehicle looks like next time. Or make note of what their desk looks like next time. See if I'm right. Get organized. And in episode 24, I'm going to talk about ways to organize your house. Because that's a very important survival tool to learn. And that is organizing your house. In case a disaster happens, you want to know exactly everything you have in your house. You also want to know where it is and where you can find it. And I've got some creative ways that I want to share with you about organizing your house. You know, use whatever tools that are available. I make extremely good use out of my Apple iPhone. I got an Apple iPhone last November for my birthday. And there are so many organizational tools about this phone, and I use 99% of them. Matter of fact, I just downloaded a new app for my iPhone. It cost $1.99, and it doubled the amount of organizational ability of this phone. And every single day, sometimes twice a day, I sync it with my computer so that I've got everything organized in two different places. And I back it up to a flash drive. So really, it's in three different places. So if my iPhone goes down, I can get it off my computer. If it goes down, I can plug my flash drive into somebody else's computer, and I can still access my stuff. Now, I use a program. I'm going to tell you about a good organizational program. I use a computer program called ACT. A-C-T, ACT. It was designed originally for salespeople, but there's so many ways you can use ACT to even organize your personal life. And I think there's a tutorial on YouTube about ACT. I'll try to find it, and I'll put a post in the show notes on how to find a tutorial. But again, it'll do your personal life, your business life. It's not just an organizational software for finances. You can do all kinds of things to use ACT to organize other areas of your personal life. If you need to remember events, if you need to remember birthdays, but even just something simple as a BlackBerry or an iPhone, you know, use those. You paid for those features when you bought the device. Use them. Even simple little things like remembering somebody's birthday. Put birthday reminders in your phone so it reminds you 4 days ahead of time about somebody's birthday. Now, I'm horrible at that. I need to make better use of that feature. People really appreciate it when you remember their birthday, even if it's a simple phone call or a simple email. But I use ACT to remind myself to do just about everything because I have a memory, folks, that really sucks bad. That's one of my biggest struggles that I've had all my life is I have no memory. And the older I get, the worse the memory gets. So I have to rely on these devices. My wife laughs at me because my iPhone's making all kinds of noises reminding me of all kinds of things throughout the day. Organize your home, too. Now, I'll give you a little bit of an insight into the next episode, but declutter. Decluttering is so important. I mentioned this in one of the other podcasts. Somebody on the forum put a post saying that one of the best things you can do for survival is first of all, take an inventory of everything that's in your house. Know what you have. And by taking the inventory, it also figures out, it helps you figure out where you're wasting a lot of room in your house and what you can get rid of. Declutter. Boy, the first time I did this, the first time I went through my closet and decluttered, it was awesome. I realized how much unused stuff I had. And, you know, a week ago, I got a phone call from the Vietnam Veterans Association. And they were asking if I had any extra clothes and extra shoes to give to the Vietnam veterans that were in need. So I jumped all over that. I went through my closet. I cleaned out even more. This is the fourth time that I've been through my belongings, just taking stuff out that I'm just not using. And I followed the old rule. If I haven't used it or touched it in a year, I got rid of it. I thought I got rid of everything that I hadn't touched in a year. Wrong. When I went through my belongings again, I found a whole bunch more. I donated it to the Vietnam Veterans Association, took the tax deduction. Decluttering your house also helps you start to declutter your mind. And that's the other organizational suggestion that I'd like to give you. Declutter your mind. What I'm talking about is use your organizer that I just got done talking about to schedule alone time. To schedule time to where you do something like maybe take a walk out in the woods or take a walk out in the field. Or just take a walk around your neighborhood and get out and just be alone. Clear your mind. Force yourself to not think about anything. One of our forum members is a big duck hunter. He uses duck hunting as a way to get out there and just clear his mind. And it's duck hunting season right now, so he's getting a chance to take advantage of a lot of that. And, you know, just getting out in the woods with his shotgun, getting out into the swamps and getting into the duck blind, and just thinking about something else helps him. So for you hunters out there, if that's what it takes, at least a couple of times a week. But even if you can't go hunting a couple of times a week, just for those of you who are city dwellers, just get out and do something. But do it by yourself. And do an activity that is a departure from your normal everyday routine. I like to do that on lunch hour. I like to go work out during lunch hour. And there's other podcasts that I listen to that are not survival related. And I like to get my mind off of survival thinking several times a week. And I like to go do some type of a workout, whether it's at the gym or whether it's riding a bike or whether it's walking. And I just put some of the other podcasts on, and or sometimes I just exercise in silence. Enjoy the silence. That's another way to just clear your mind. Just go do something and leave your iPod or your MP3 player at home. And use the off button on your cell phone. There isn't a single cell phone that can't be shut off. Turn it off. Tell your spouse, look, I'm going to go for 20 minutes just to clear my mind that I won't be accepting any calls. Or if it's your lunch hour and you want to do something like just go take a walk, shut your phone off. Just clear the mind. It helps to organize your mind as well. You've got to have some of that solitude. It just helps fill your soul, and then you'll come back a refreshed person. So that's another organizational area that I'd like you to start bringing yourself in balance. But one of the worst things is when someone is so disorganized, they can't find anything. Especially if you need to find an important paper, or you need to find something that is important to you, and you can't find it, it elevates your frustration. Then your stress level goes up, and then your blood pressure starts to go up. Then you start to get angry. Then you start to do things because you're angry, and you're angry because you're frustrated because you can't find what you wanted to find. And then you do something in anger that you end up regretting later, and it's just a big vicious cycle. Start small. Sorry, folks, a little bit of a technical difficulty there. Start small when you are organizing. You know, just pick one room at a time in your house. Don't try to organize everything all at once. Pick one room or start with that vehicle. If your vehicle's a mess, go out there and clean it and get that organized. And then just go room to room and just go through things and take that inventory while you're organizing. And make a record of it. I don't care if you make a record of what you have in every room on paper, or if you take pictures, or both, and log it onto a computer, whatever. But that's an exercise that will also help bring your life in balance. So in conclusion, I'd like to say, don't forget about the five areas: emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, and organizational balance. And you know, I'll tell you, when any of those are out of whack, it starts to erode the other four, even if they are in balance. So you got to do regular checks on your emotional level. Are you staying away from the slurpers? And do regular checks on your physical balance. Are you getting in the exercise that you should be getting in to keep your body healthy and strong? And regular checks on your financial balance. Every once in a while, pay those bills in cash for a month. And your spiritual balance. Are you getting in touch with that side on a regular basis? And if a room in your house starts to get unorganized, get back and fix it. So don't forget about those five areas. And I think that's going to help you live a much more survival-minded life. And I'll go ahead and set up episode 24, because we're going to talk about organizing and improvising and doing things. I'm going to actually give you some things that you can do, some tools, and actually some devices that you can obtain for almost nothing to help you organize and lay out what you've got at home. And even if you're in a disaster situation. So thank you for listening. This is Bob Main. You've just listened to another episode of today's Survival Show, where we help you harness the power of choice to live life on your own terms and strengthen your resolve. Our goal is to make survival simple. No extremism here. Thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you next time.